Better Humans, Colin here for another show. We're going to talk about chronological snobbery. Do we live in a post-history world? Does history just stop? Is 2020 the end of time? People actually believe that. Or maybe they don't consciously think about it. It's probably more the latter that than they just think history's over. But if you don't study history, if you're not paying attention, if you don't read books like The Fourth Turning or Individual Sovereign or The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich or literally any history book, then you might not wake up in 2020 or 2021 and be surprised because you have no context to compare it to. But as students of history, most of which have been yelling and screaming from the rooftops, trying to wake people up, they're saying, look, it's happening. Hey, the Titanic is sinking. The unsinkable ship is sinking. Like, I mean, I don't know if it's an analogy or not, but they're screaming to wake up and people aren't because they're plugged into the matrix. Most of which don't even know they're plugged into the matrix. It's just easier to accept what everyone else is doing because of status quo bias, and you don't have to ruffle any feathers. You don't have to stick out and be a risk or get arrested or whatever. I get it. There's risks to waking up. There's risks to challenging your own beliefs and identity. We don't really want to do that. And there's a lot of ancestral reasons for that, because groupthink is one of the mechanisms that Mother Nature programmed into humans when it figured out that humans work well in groups when they all freaking think alike. But humans don't work well in a global geopolitical environment where everyone's connected and everyone's got nuclear weapons and arms and this and that and money and trade and now social media and tribalism. And so the Better Human Newsletter went out today, or it's going out tomorrow, the 22nd. I'm going to record on it because I thought it was worth talking about. C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery. The idea that past humans and times were inferior to now. And I got this from Zuby. I was at a Freedom Immune System event thing last night in Austin, Texas. He was visiting. J.P. Sears was there. John Wellborn, Dr. Parsley, a couple other guys all gave really awesome talks. Just good energy, good vibe. And he brought this up because obviously what we were talking about is how maybe you should work on your immune system and get exercise and really do all the things that modern humans don't really want to do and most modern humans aren't doing, which is why the narrative hasn't been around that. The narrative's been around easy fixes, easy in air quotes, of taking a vaccine or wearing a mask, and that's going to save you, rather than doing the hard work of doing exercise, getting outside, disconnecting from your screen, eating real food, cooking maybe. It actually makes a lot of sense. If you have a populace that isn't already doing those things, is overweight, is maybe dependent on the government, watches the news, is afraid of this, afraid of that, afraid of whatever the news tells them, you're not really going to sell airtime or get clicks if your message is get 8 hours of sleep, exercise, eat right, you know, learn how to cook, get off your phones, stop watching mindless brain-numbing TV and your social media, whatever. Obviously, that's not something that sells, because what sells is cheap, easy, convenient. That's what the American average consumer wants and buys, which is why I just thought about this. If you actually go into a grocery store, a brand like Chameleon Cold Brew, I know the owners here in Texas, Austin. I know the story. I know where they get their coffee, how it was roasted, everything. They got bought up by Nestle for like, you know, $20 million, something like that. And now most of their drinks on the shelf, not all of them, but most of them are like latte flavored and lightly sweetened Mexican vanilla cold brew, which I look on the label, actually has 12 grams of sugar. I'm thinking to myself, this is lightly sweetened. For the phrase lightly sweetened, I'd hope it'd be 4 grams of sugar, right? Maybe 3 or 2 or 5 at the most. Instead, it's 11. And they got a whole range of flavors, and most of these things are sweetened and have sugar in them. You see this all the time. Brands get bought up. The big food companies take over. And the big food companies know that the consumers want sweet, tasty things. And they don't really care about sugar because people are still buying Coca-Cola and they buy it. So what they do is they adjust the product line by loading it up with sugar because they know the consumers will buy it. It is just an example of how the market speaks. And if you think about the news wants clicks and views. So they're going to give the public what it wants. Because what it wants, it will click on or view. And then those clicks and views will be sold to advertisers, because that's how you generate your revenue, is you actually have a certain amount of like impressions or views. And then that's what justifies ad costs, because advertisers will pay more and want to pay more for the largest audience possible. So if your views are going down, if your clicks are going down, because you're out here promoting health and talking about getting in the sun and bringing experts on that are into these basically alien concepts to the average person, because they're already overweight or just relying on pharmaceuticals, or they're already not exercising. They don't want to. They're already eating junk food and they don't want to eat clean food. They don't want to be told that. They don't want to be lectured. Your ad revenue will go down. And it's another reason why fear sells. For politics, that's exactly what they want. I mean, we have a two-party system. We literally have a two-party system where it's based on division. It's based on us first them. So anytime politics can give you someone to attack or be afraid of, some terrorist or black or this or white or whatever, they feed that to you. Because that then becomes a talking point and even a campaign entire focus. And what it does is it distracts you from what's really going on. It ends up being a smokescreen, but it's also a way to gain political clout, because then you can say all these, you know, virtue signaling things related to that thing. And then you talk about how I'm going to fix this, I'm going to fix that or whatever. It's just, it's all a big fat goddamn conspiracy. It really is. Even the word conspiracy, people don't even understand what that word means. And so they just use that word to like write people off. But here's the reality. These things are conspiracies, meaning they work in a way and on purpose for certain things to happen and not happen. That's what conspiracy is. You basically plan for something to happen. You plan things to have some end. So you can say that every company is a conspiracy to make money. Every government is a conspiracy to stay in power and get more power and to get voters and whatever. These are broad daylight conspiracies because this is just how it works. Facebook wants to keep you on Facebook. So it builds machines and uses advanced algorithms and hires the smartest people in the world to try to get you addicted to their technology. In fact, this is what all social media does. It wants you to stay on the platform. Because the longer you're on the platform, just like with the news, the more you watch the news, the more you click on their articles and do their things, the more traffic they get, the more money they make. The more you're on Facebook, the more Facebook sells that data, which is clicks and likes and scrolls and whatever. It sells that attention, basically, to advertisers. It's the same business model. Now, I believe the free market should be able to operate, and I don't have anything against advertising per se, but you actually see how so much of the broken incentive structures in our culture today is based on advertising. It's based on getting attention so that someone can sell you something through that attention. And that has created all these complex, I call them accidental conspiracies, where they just create this vacuum where there's these parameters, and that vacuum is filled with the fastest, best, easiest, cheapest way, you know, for companies to profit from this kind of, maybe vacuum's not the right word, but it's a bunch of different incentives, a bunch of different things, a bunch of different structures, a bunch of different, you know, way things are, how things are used. It creates, I would say opportunity, that's the word. It creates this opportunity to come in and monetize it in a certain way. But you don't blame corporations. You shouldn't really blame, I mean, if anybody is to blame, it's probably the government, because every time the government intervenes, you get these problems rather than letting the free market figure it out. And I do believe the free market can figure out better than government. The idea here, though, is that we think we live in a post-history world. And I'm going to get to a point. I'm coming up on it. I promise. What's most dangerous about this idea is how many humans think we live in a post-history world where history is only a thing of the past. But 2020's history to 2040 and 2021 will be a completely different time compared to 2100. The thing I wonder about is how many things we believe today will be debunked in the near future. And my guess is it's a lot. If you actually look at history and how fast technology and the collective human consciousness evolves, this will keep happening at a faster rate moving into the future. This is one reason why I don't trust government, politicians, or experts on anything. It's why I focus on first principles thinking and why I don't blindly accept anything without rigorous analysis and experimentation. Now, I'm an outlier, that's true. But we can all claim more of our agency to think for ourselves. And we should. We must. Because the only way to protect individual sovereignty and bring freedom to all humans is to protect the right and promote the necessity of individuals thinking for themselves. Bitcoin solves the money problem, which will actually solve a lot of these problems. But only you can solve the think for yourself problem. And for every human that outsources her thinking to someone else, we have a problem. Letting others think for you is how the powerful maintain and gain more power, by convincing you that you need them and that they will take care of you. It's how corporations dupe you into buying junk you don't need. It's how religious radicals convince young men to kill themselves so they can go to heaven, where 72 virgins will be waiting for them, so on and so forth. All because of letting others think for you. I can't think of a more tragic realization to have than to realize that maybe you should have thought for yourself at the end. It makes me sick. And why I'm compelled to share these ideas with as many people as possible. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about these two things. Just think about these things. Don't, like, you're not going to change your thinking overnight. You're not going to have some big epiphany. Like, that kind of stuff just doesn't happen. It's just for the movies. It's slow, iterative, subconscious mingling of ideas that go into your eyes and ears, and then over time manifest in the real world. And then you get feedback and you learn, and hopefully you adapt and evolve and grow. Every time you repeat something you hear, see without checking source material, you lie to yourself and others because you have no actual clue what you're talking about. If you make important life decisions, medical, financial, health, child rearing, because it's what everyone is doing, then consider that most people are the following: overweight, depressed, addicted to fake foods, drugs, pharmaceuticals, screens, distractions, poor sleepers, don't know history, care more about sounding right than being right, believe what they see on TV, suck at eye contact, are judgmental and closed minded, and are otherwise not thriving humans. So are those the people that you want to just blindly follow? Because it's just a little bit easier? Because nobody's going to criticize you? I mean, give me a break. The mark of a better human is thinking for yourself. I hope I gave you some examples of why that's so freaking important. You know, get the newsletter. Make sure you get the newsletter, Colin.coach. Don't be a chronological snob. Realize that history is taking place right before your eyes every single day, and you have a chance to shape it, hopefully for the better, by thinking for yourself, by challenging the status quo, the dogma on people around you, by asking questions in whatever flavor or style suits you. You don't have to be aggressive. You don't have to be strong-willed and minded or outgoing with any of this stuff. You could just ask questions and shrug your shoulders and say, interesting. Or, that doesn't really add up. Or, what am I missing here? Or, interesting. Or, that sounds weird. Or, definitely doesn't sound like there's enough information there. Like, whatever your style is. Ask questions. Make less statements. That's how we're going to get other people around us to actually wake up. Because they'll ask themselves questions. You'll ask them a question, and then they'll be like, oh, I don't know the answer. Or they'll give you some whatever answer. And then hopefully that'll shine the spotlight on them. And then they'll be like, well, interesting, I don't know. Or maybe later on, after they've kind of saved face, right? Because people don't really like not knowing what they're talking about. They'll think about it. Or maybe they'll do some research. Or maybe they'll pull in a thread. And maybe they'll find a video or an article or podcast. And maybe that first domino, that waking up domino, maybe that gets tipped. And then so on and so forth for other humans and other humans and other humans. And then exponentially over time, we can, you know, save the world, basically save humanity. That's why I believe in building better humans. It's that same thing. Better humans have a ripple effect to people around them and communities and everything, and the work they put out, everything. Everything is rippled out from a better human to make things around better. And sometimes that means challenging things and making it uncomfortable for people or things or institutions or whatever. And sometimes it just means leading by example and being an example for other people to say, wow, I like that, or I want that, or whatever. I'm going to follow that or mimic that, or I'm going to try that. It's so freaking important. That's it for today. Better Human Newsletter. If you want to support the show, Colin.coach/swan. Stack your Bitcoin daily. I got a bunch of shows on why you should. I'm also coming out with the Bitcoin Basics podcast. If you want really high quality grass-fed meat, it is Colin.coach/meat. I got an order here. I'll show you some of the stuff that I get. I have it on a monthly shipment, which is great. I get my delicious steaks just showing up every month. I also have this amazing cobia right here. This 10-ounce cobia tackle cuts. It's actually the tastiest fish and the easiest to cook I've ever had. Sea bass made at a really nice restaurant. Will probably be tastier, but this stuff is amazing. It's so easy to make. You fry in a pan, put in some tacos, use enough salt and butter. Oh my gosh. It'll completely change your perspective on seafood if you're a non-seafood lover. And fish is something I like to have a couple times a week. So that's it. That's it for today's show. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app, as well as YouTube. And I'll see you in the next one.